The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While people were listening to Jesus speak, he proceeded to tell a parable because he was near Jerusalem, and they thought that the kingdom of God would appear there immediately. So he said, "A nobleman went off to a distant country to obtain the kingship for himself and then to return. He called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 gold coins and told them, 'Engage in trade with these until I return.' His fellow citizens, however, despised him and sent a delegation after him to announce, 'We do not want this man to be our king.' But when he returned after obtaining the kingship, he had the servants called to whom he had given the money to learn what they had gained by trading. The first came forward and said, 'Sir, your gold coin has earned 10 additional ones.' He replied, 'Well done, good servant. You have been faithful in this very small matter. Take charge of 10 cities.' Then the second came and reported, 'Your gold coin, sir, has earned 5 more.' And to this servant too he said, 'You, take charge of 5 cities.' Then the other servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your gold coin. I kept it stored away in a handkerchief, for I was afraid of you, and because you are a demanding man, you take up what you did not lay down, and you harvest what you did not plant.' He said to him, 'With your own words I shall condemn you, you wicked servant. You knew I was a demanding man, taking up what I did not lay down, and harvesting what I did not plant. Why then do you not put my money in a bank? Then on my return I would have collected it with interest.' And to those standing by he said, 'Take the gold coin from him and give it to the servant who has 10. But they said to him, 'Sir, he has 10 gold coins.' He replied, 'I tell you, to everyone who has, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Now, as for those enemies of mine who did not want me as their king, bring them here and slay them before me.' After he had said this, he proceeded on his journey up to Jerusalem." The Gospel of the Lord. God, and once again, good afternoon, brothers and sisters. And once again, welcome back. I thought we would talk about our first reading today from the book of the Maccabees. There's 2 books of the Maccabees, actually, and we're hearing from them all week long. We only do this once every 2 years. So I take a look at the book of the Maccabees, books of the Maccabees today. Chronologically speaking, Maccabees is the last events of the entire Old Testament. After the books of the Maccabees and the events contained therein, the very next thing to happen in the Bible is all concerned with the coming of Christ. But if you want to understand the Maccabees, you first have to understand just a little bit of history, okay? Because Maccabees describes what happened in Israel after the collapse of the empire of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great, mid-300s BC, conquered more land faster than anybody else has ever done in history. He created an empire that stretched from Greece to India, and this he conquered in just 3 years, and he did it at the age of 26. Then mysteriously, suddenly, Alexander the Great died. And all the people gathered and fought to control all the scraps of the empire that Alexander had assembled. And the one who ruled the land that was today Israel, his name was Antiochus Epiphanes IV. Now, one of the reasons that Alexander the Great was able to amass such a vast empire is that he respected local religions. You want to keep peace? Don't mess with people's religion. Just respect them, whatever it is they believe. That was true for Alexander. That was not true for his successors. Especially Antiochus, who tried to destroy the worship of God in Israel. Now, worship of God in Israel. Three basic foundations of that. Three basic foundations. The Torah, the temple, and the Sabbath. Okay? The Torah is the law of God. Temple, the worship of God. Sabbath, the remembrance of God. Antiochus attacked all three of those. He made people work on the Sabbath. He made it illegal to observe the covenant. And he desecrated the temple. You know about Jews and pigs. Jews and pigs don't mix, right? Well, he slaughtered a pig in the Holy of Holies, the most sacred part of the temple, desecrated the temple. And, you know, as people generally tend to be, most people just went along with whatever the powers, the authorities wanted. The story of the Maccabees is a story of just a few people who fought back. And in your first reading today, you hear one of the great stories in the entire Old Testament. It's a story of an unknown Jewish woman, never named, mother of seven sons, all of whom were captured by Antiochus and forced to violate God's law, you know, the law of Moses, by eating pork. And if they did not eat pork, they would first be tortured, then be killed, as all the other brothers and their mother all looked on. And in a particularly cruel twist, if any of them at any time stepped up and volunteered to eat the pork, all of them would have their lives spared. And one by one, they held the line right to the very end. They were all faithful to the covenant until at last the mother herself was tortured and killed. Now, as you hear that story, you're supposed to essentially ask yourself in the privacy of your thoughts, in the privacy of your prayer, what do you think you would do? Most people, rank and file, would say to themselves something like this. They would say, well, you know, God would want me to live, and God would certainly want me to save the lives of my brothers. So certainly I wouldn't let a little tiny thing like a little rule or a little regulation stand between me and the life of my brothers. And certainly God would understand, you know, if I just bowed down and ate the piece of pork. But you fail to recognize the whole point of the story is that God would not want that. That's the entire point of the story. And you have to ask yourself this question because it raises this very important question. What does the word worship mean? What does it mean? You say you worship God. What does that mean? Worship is the amalgamation of two words, worth and ship. The simplest definition of worship, it's whatever you value most in life, that's what you worship. So if it's your health you value most, you'll sacrifice God's law to protect your health. If it's your life you value most, you'll sacrifice God's law to save your life. If it's public opinion or your job or your income that you matter most, by definition, that's what you worship. As you hear the story of the Maccabees, you're supposed to, and pray about this, what do you think you would do? And while you're thinking about that, think about this. Today's reading falls on the feast day of Saint Cecilia, and I'm sure a lot of you know her story, but just in case you don't, okay? Just in case you don't, I'll tell you. Saint Cecilia was a young Roman girl who, as you know, was living in the time in which the Christian faith was illegal in the city of Rome, and Cecilia was captured and sentenced to death. She was ordered to be suffocated, and so they put her into a bathhouse, sealed the door, stoked the fires, and the idea was the fire would suck all the, you know, all the oxygen out of the room, and she'd die by suffocation. So they come back 24 hours later. Cecilia's still alive. So the Roman soldiers took their sword and hacked Cecilia at the neck, three times at the neck. Didn't decapitate her, right? But they figured she'd just bleed to death. Cecilia hung on to life for 3 whole days. And according to tradition, she spent those 3 days singing the Psalms, singing the praises of God. You want to know why? You might have heard it said, Saint Cecilia, patron saint of music. That's the reason why. You hear a story like Cecilia or any of the martyrs, stop and ask yourself this question. What do you think you would do? It's inseparable from this question. What do you worship? Are you aware that as you sit right there where you are, God already knows the exact day, the exact hour, the exact minute, and the exact manner in which each of us will die? He already knows it. And in his perfect providence, he allows it to happen. The saints knew that, and so they would pray that when that hour came, that they would embrace the death that God had allowed. But they did more than just that. Saints just didn't think about dying for Christ. Saints realized that they were supposed to live for Christ. And the very best way to say yes to whatever God might ask of you tomorrow is to say yes to whatever God is asking of you today. So many of us think that we know what tomorrow is going to bring. You know, we are absolutely convinced that tomorrow is going to be just like today. It's perfectly predictable. But I hope you know, life can change in the twinkle of an eye. And things that you never imagined can happen. It's a very important question to ask yourself. What would you do if God asked of you to witness to him at the cost of your own blood? The very best way to prepare for what God might ask of you tomorrow is to be faithful to what he asks of you today. Let's ask for the prayers of the saints to help us to do that. Saint Cecilia, pray for us.